back to our study here. I'm just going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, but to put your mind at ease, we are not going to cover all these verses today, okay? just so that you can not be concerned about how long we're going to spend in this, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, start in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We're just going to deal with the first couple of verses today, and I've titled the message, "You Want Me to Do What?" As we continue to learn how to walk in wisdom by being filled with the Spirit or being filled with the Word of God, then we do so by how we interact with each other. And over the next few weeks, we'll look at relationships, how we respond to them. In each case, we're told to submit to or to obey authority. And the authorities are to treat those folks in certain ways. Now, it's important as we work through these texts of Scripture to understand where the priorities lie. So many times, the authority concentrates on what others are to do to them, but fail to look at how they are to love or respond to them. I love how one author said this: husbands are quick to embrace and emphasize the wife's principle, and wives are quick to embrace and emphasize the husband's principle. As we go over the next few weeks, would you concentrate on your responsibilities and not someone else's? Now, I hesitate to say this because I don't want husbands to be absent next week, but I will deal with you next week, okay? Primarily. There are really three aspects of this passage. There is the wife submitting or respecting her husband. There is the husband to love as Christ loves. And there's the picture of what Christ has done for the church and by nature the church's response. This is used as an illustration to prove Paul's other points in this text of Scripture. One author summarized the text this way: the successful development of this relationship requires Spirit-filled, Bible-saturated partners who are truly concerned for each other and who have a real desire to see the work of God in their lives. So simply put, as we look through this text of Scripture this morning, let's concentrate on this idea. With Christ as our example, we must walk in wisdom by loving our wives or respecting, submitting to our husbands. And maybe you'd say, yes, I don't have a husband or wife, so I'm done. I just turn this message off. The principles are there for us to learn no matter who we are. I want us to see first off this morning the correction. In other words, I want to talk a little bit before we actually get into the text of what it is not. Okay? The wrong interpretation that favors the husband says that as to the Lord means that a wife should submit to her husband as if he were God himself. The idea is you submit to God in absolutely everything without question, and you must submit to your husband in the same absolute way. This interpretation believes that the words as to the Lord defines the extent of submission. I tell you, I don't believe what this passage is saying. It's not saying wives submit as if he were Lord. Okay? I don't think that's what it's meaning. In no place in Scripture does it teach an unqualified, without exception, submission except to God and God alone. To violate this is to commit the sin of idolatry. Well, the wrong interpretation that favors the wife says that as to the Lord means I'll submit to him as long as he does what the Lord wants. Then the wife often thinks it's her job to decide what the Lord wants. This interpretation thinks that that as to the Lord defines the limit of submission. There's also a wrong interpretation about this fact, that this text, that submission is the result of the fall. And since we are now saved, we just submit one to another, as verse 21 says, and this verse doesn't apply. But may I remind you that submission was commanded before the fall. The order of husband-wife was before the fall. And passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 10 make the point that God created Adam first and gave him responsibility over Eve. This happened before the fall. Therefore, the passage makes it clear that before and after the fall, God ordained there be different roles between husband and wife. The difference in roles between husband and wife are not the result of the fall and are not erased by our new life in Jesus Christ. Let me say also that the construction of the text makes it clear that this command is to the wife and it is not to be demanded of her. Now, I'm not going to go into all the nuances of it, but this text makes it very clear that she does so willingly. In other words, husbands, listen to me carefully. If you're constantly walking around the house reminding your wife that she's supposed to submit to you, you're not following what God says for you to do. Crickets. Thank you. Somebody said amen. Pastor said it down here a while ago too. In other words, the point of the text is this. The point of the text is not for me to use the shovel. Right? We're not to say, that goes for them, that goes for them, that goes for them. The point of the text is for me to concentrate on me. The fact is, I told you I'm not going to deal a lot with the husbands today, but the fact is, men, to love her as Christ loved the church is an absolutely full-time job. Matter of fact, impossible apart from the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. And then let me say this, husbands. Husbands who love their wives as Christ loved the church make it easier for her to submit as unto Christ. So we must be careful that we don't promote an interpretation that benefits us. Peter says some of them, they wrist Scripture, they twist it so that it matches them. That's not God's purpose in this text of Scripture. So some corrections. But number two, let's look at the command. In verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The fact is, this truth in Scripture is a command, and it means to subject or to subordinate. Of submission in the sense of a voluntary yielding in love. Submission is a person's yielding his or her own rights and losing self for another. It really goes back even to verse 21, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. This action, though commanded, is to be voluntary, with the wife acting as a free agent before God to submit. Warren Wiersbe says, the idea of submission doesn't have anything to do with someone being smarter or better or more talented. It has to do with a God-appointed order. Anyone who has served in the armed forces knows that rank has to do with order and authority, not value or ability. Another author said, to submit means that you recognize someone has legitimate authority over you. It means you recognize that there is an order of authority and that you are part of a unit or a team. You as an individual are not more important than the working of the unit or the team. Submission does not mean inferiority. As well, submission does not mean silence. Submission does mean submission. There is a mission for the Christian marriage, and that mission is obeying and glorifying God. The wife says, I'm going to put myself under that mission. That mission is more important than my individual desires. I'm not putting myself below my husband. I'm putting myself below the mission God has for our marriage and for our life. And that's what this text is really saying. It's not just for his sake, but there is a benefit to the wife to submitting as well. The way she is to submit is if she is submitting to the Lord or doing it because of her relationship to the Lord. Men are not perfect. No wives want to say amen there, huh? You're like, how much trouble would I get in? Let me re-say that. Men are not perfect, right? They're not, yeah, some men should be saying that too, right? But that is why you submit to them as to the Lord. Not him as Lord, but as you were submitting to the Lord. Because God's got this. God knows how to handle it. God knows how to break his stubborn head. He does. There's been multiple times when I've said to my wife, hey, babe, I've been thinking about such and such and such and such, and she gets this little smile on her face. And I'm like, how long have you and God been teaming up against me? Come to find out she's been praying about a decision that was made or whatever. Now, again, I'm not saying that wives shouldn't offer suggestions. They're not part of the team or whatever. That's certainly not what I'm saying. I'll never forget. It's been this May. Will actually be, Caleb about to be 26? Yeah, okay. This May, it'll be 16 years ago, okay? Caleb and I, for every one of our kids, for their 10-year-old, we took them, Lisa took the girls away, I took the one guy I had away, and just, you know, we talked to them and different things, and so we were headed to the mountains, and it was May, and Lisa said, are you sure you don't want to take a jacket? And we're like, jacket? Are you kidding me? Nah, it's May, we're going to be fine. We froze to death. I'm telling you, it came a cold front. I'm like, where did this come from? We bought shirts in a bookstore, little things there, paid way too much money. Like $40 for a shirt that should have been about $10. And all they had was really large ones, so Caleb's was ginormous on him. We didn't care. We were so stinking cold. When we got home, I'm like, babe, next time you offer me a suggestion, I'm going to take it, okay? You sure you don't need a jacket? Absolutely. It's July, but I'll take a jacket. The worst case they can do is stay in the car, right? But I'm not going to freeze again. And can I say this to you? I realize that this is not a popular opinion today. I realize it's not politically correct or whatever words you want to put into it. I've read a lot of stuff that tries to jump through hoops to make this not applicable to today, but I'm telling you, God's way is always best, even when it makes no sense to us. Are you willing to obey Scripture? Well, number three, we see the complement. How does she help him? See, again, submission doesn't mean inferiority. It means that she recognizes that her husband is the head of the home and responds to him accordingly without usurping his authority to herself. If it meant less than an inferiority, if it meant less than or inferiority, then other passages of Scripture would jump out at us. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. If this meant inferiority, that would mean from this text of Scripture that Christ was inferior to God. And that's not true. It doesn't mean inferiority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 and following, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. We're a team working together. Though the husband is the head, she is a complement to him or a completer of him. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. I've often said to guys, the deal is God very politely said, you're a mess and you need some help, buddy. Like, is it in the Hebrew? I'm sure it's in the Hebrew there, just like that, okay? She is a help that is opposite of him. Not opposite as in constantly fighting, but opposite that's indifferent. In other words, I'm glad she's different. For all kinds of ways. I sometimes talk to couples and they're like, you know, I can't believe, you know, she doesn't think like me. Duh. She's a woman. She's going to think different than a man. That's what God gave her to you for. Because sometimes, guys, we totally miss it. And she's got it. She understood exactly. Lisa has insight, compassion, talents that I don't have. She's a compliment to me in so many ways. I could talk about them for a long time, but in ministry especially, you guys many times will write a thank you note to both of us. The truth is you ought to write a thank you note to her. All those ideas are hers and those creative things that she does. And so many times she's like, don't you think we ought to, you know, do this for somebody or do that? And I'm like, it's a great idea. I didn't think of it, but that's a great idea, right? That's because that's the role that's supposed to be there. Are you willing to fulfill God's role as a complement? Number four, I want to look at the concentration. And again, look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. This word head means has to do with rank. Again, we could say position that God has given. And Christ being head, but Christ is the head not only of the body of Christians, but of the universe as a whole. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He also is the Savior, the rescuer, the deliverer. Aren't you glad that he delivered us? Aren't you glad that he's our Savior? The truth is, we all needed a Savior. What does it mean when we say we need a Savior? Well, the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We had no ability in and of ourselves to fix our problem. And Jesus came, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day to deal with that main problem that we had. He is the Savior of the body. And Christ is going to, Paul is going to relate this throughout this text of Scripture, which is a powerful way to look at it. It's interesting, too, that Paul may have been dealing with a Roman family idea. I get this. Some of you guys are going to really love this. That the father had authority over his daughter as long as she was alive, even if married. There were some Romans that believed that. Wow, that could get real complicated quickly, right? And I think Paul deals with that a little bit later on too, by the way. That's why they leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife and so forth. Now, Paul may have been dealing with some Roman misconceptions of the idea of marriage. Christ rescued the church, the body. But Paul is going to emphasize later that men should sacrifice themselves for the good of the body, that is his and hers, because they are one flesh. That's going to be his argument a little bit later on. Matter of fact, Paul is going to emphasize that just as Christ was willing to give all for the church, that we as men are to give all for her. So the concentration is that the wife really is submitting to Christ. And that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference when, ladies, you know that he's making a mistake. When you've appealed and he's going to do it anyway. And you're like, okay. But you can rest in what God is saying, which is a wonderful thing to do. Okay? And then when we realize we made a mistake, then we can say, sure wish I'd listened to you, because your wife has, again, talents, abilities, insights sometimes that you do not have. Number five, I want us to look then just briefly at the church itself. He says in verse 24, wherefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. So just as the church is subject to Christ, the wives should be to their own husbands. Now this is interesting, okay? Those who would jump through hoops to make some of these verses not apply today, I wonder what they do about the church being submissive to Christ. By the way, I think many of our modern problems in the church proves that they're not submitting to God. I believe they've decided to run it ever how they want to run it, regardless of what God actually says. So they're not actually in submission to him at all. And the Bible says here, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Again, ladies, I'm not going to tell you that that's an easy task, especially at times. I'm not going to say that that's something that's just, hey, just go about your day and don't worry about it. There are times when this is incredibly difficult. And we see someone perhaps even not responding right in certain areas. But the truth is, we have to see this as our relationship to God. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, turn with me if you would please to the end of chapter 4. Paul has dealt with that process of put off, renew, put on, and he works through a variety of things here. And in verse 32, he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, he puts the idea of forgiveness not on a person-to-person basis, but on me to God. The fact is, the first concentration for me is for me to God. When I get me to God figured out, then I recognize that God is in control. He's got this. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Paul in jail and going through all the trial and all the stuff that he did too. But he could rest in the fact that God is in control. When we step out from underneath what God has designed for us, what we're in essence saying, I don't think God can handle this. I've said this with young people who have wanted to get married outside of their parents' wishes. And I've said to them, do you believe God's in control? Do you believe God can control the hearts of the kings, the authority? I believe he can. So you can rest in that. And we can say, okay, God, I'm going to place myself at your disposal. Easier said than done, I understand. Now again, I want to emphasize, this doesn't mean that we can't make an appeals. It doesn't mean that a husband has a right to tell his wife to do things that are a violation of God's word. It doesn't mean that a husband has a right to abuse his wife. This passage doesn't give him permission to do that. Though men have abused that over years, that this is not what this text is saying. A man who would use it that way has totally missed the whole point of the book of Ephesians, let alone this own text. We need to see this as our relationship with God, not just our husbands. As I've prayed and worked through this text, I realize that it's unpopular today. But that doesn't change the text of Scripture. Between 60 and 78% of Americans, depending on what survey you look at, disagree with this text of Scripture as it's written. 60 to 70%. But can you listen to me carefully? Let God be true and every man a liar. I got that's not popular. You should have been with me all week long as I worked through this text of Scripture. Again, I also realize that abuse can happen because of this passage, but that doesn't mean it can be done away with. I heard people say, well, men take this and abuse, therefore we should eliminate this text of Scripture. Can I tell you, everything that happens in this world today in one way or another can be abused? Just because something's abused doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that someone has perverted it, which, by the way, the devil is really good at. He loves to pervert things. He can't create. He just can pervert. I believe firmly that a wife who submits and respects her husband and a husband who will love her as Christ loved the church will be in perfect harmony. I believe a wife who demonstrates that she can submit to her husband and a husband who can love her as Christ loved the church will learn to submit to each other. Because he loves her the way Christ loved the church, he's going to learn to listen to her in a variety of ways. And when she knows that he loves her as Christ loves the church, she knows that she can submit and it's going to be okay. Because he walks with God, and he loves me the way Christ wants me to be loved, and therefore I can rest in that. So many times we rest in what we can figure out instead of what God says. But can I warn you, don't lean into your own understanding. Don't do that. It's destructive. And the devil will do anything he can to get us to this point. You say, well, what do I do? What do I do if my husband's doing something wrong? Well, that would greatly depend. Is he doing something that you just think is wrong? Maybe he's, I'm not going to start giving illustrations because then some of you will think I'm picking on you directly, right? If it's not something that clearly violates Scripture, then you can go to the Lord and say, God, I really think this is the direction that you are to go and trust in those. If he's violating clear passages of Scripture and he's a person that generally walks with God, then ask him about it. Can you explain to me why you made this decision based upon this verse? You can do that in a loving way. I'm not going to say he's going to like it, but you can ask that question. You're like, well, boy, he might get mad. The truth is, God can protect you as well. Maybe he needs to be confronted. Maybe he needs someone here to confront him. By the way, that's part of what we as a church do together. We sharpen each other in the process. Okay. Come back next week, husbands. I'll spend some more time on you, okay, in the process, all right? Aren't you glad that God's word is true? Amen. And we can rest in it, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. We really can. And I'm so thankful that the picture that he gives us surrounding this is of Christ and the church and the incredible relationship that we get to have with our Savior. What a blessing. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can rest in it. Thank you that we can just submit to it itself because we need it. Lord, help us as we do so. These things are easier talked about than lived, but may we live them in a way that would please you, and we love you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I ask you this morning, do you know Christ as your Savior? We mentioned that Christ gave himself for the church. He's the Savior of the body. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, can I tell you we'd love to introduce him to you today? He came to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins. He died so that we could be forgiven, have a home in heaven. What a wonderful truth that is. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd sure love to express that today. And secondly, Christian, God work in your heart today? Husbands, have you used this passage as a tool? Wives, have you learned to submit as to the Lord because it's really about God and not me or the other person? Would you let the Holy Spirit work in your heart this morning? I believe He can. I believe we can respond to Him in a way that's pleasing to Him. Would you quietly stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? They're going to begin to play. If God's spoken to you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to help you. Pastor Adam is to my right. One of our deacons is to my left. They can help you. If you just want to come and pray, would you do that this morning? Has God's worked in your heart? Look this way for just a moment. I know a lot of you in this room are not even married yet, and you're like, well, what? How does this apply to me? Well, God may give you someone in the future. One of the things that Paul's going to talk about a little bit later on the text is the picture that a marriage can show of what we as a body here interact with each other and to Christ Himself. There's a wonderful truths that are there, so I hope the Word of God will be an encouragement to you this morning. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night. We got a lot happening over the next few weeks. Man, if you've not registered yet for that men's retreat, that is this Friday. They can still register, Pastor Adam, can they? Please see him. I'd love for you to go to that. It's going to be a great weekend. If you've never been to the wilds, you need to go and let that really just transform your lives this weekend. So, Pastor Schrett, would you close us in a word of prayer, please, sir?